This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The California Connection is here. We are back to discuss AEW Dynamite. It is November 29th. I'm your girl, Denise Salcedo. And of course, with me is none other than Righteous Reg. Reg, what up?
In the building, media man, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. It's Wednesday night. It's Dynamite. It's the California Connection. Very happy to be back, Denise. How are you, really quick, before we get into it? How was your Thanksgiving? Did you make tamales? No, you didn't. We talked about there weren't going to be any tamales last week. How was it? Was LA as lit as it should be?
Okay, so when you hopped on, I didn't even realize that we haven't talked since Thanksgiving. Like, for me, it's all been just like a quick blur. Like, I honestly forgot Thanksgiving was last week. Like, in my mind, Thanksgiving was like a month ago. I'm not even kidding you. But I was looking through my phone right now, but I deleted the picture and I wanted to show you. I was going to text you this, Reg, but then I thought, I don't know. Reg is going to think it's weird if I just send him a picture of the cream cheese pie that I made.
Cream cheese pie. Wait.
Yes, I made cream cheese pie. And
you mean
so it's cheesecake. Like cheesecake, but it's a little bit different. Like the baking method is just a tiny bit different. And so, by the way, a lot of people don't know what cream cheese pie is, and I was kind of surprised by that.
I'm gonna keep it honest with you, Denise. I don't know what that is.
Oh my God, I love cream cheese pie. It feels a little bit of a different texture from cheesecake, but regardless, it's really good. And I made one. Shout out to YouTube for helping me with the video. And everybody loved it. I made two and they like completely disappeared. I was very proud of myself.
What's the difference, Denise? You have to explain it because it sounds like cheesecake.
Okay, so from an eater's perspective, so from someone who like eats it, apparently... So it looks a lot more softer in the top, the cream cheese, versus a cheesecake. It's a lot more like thicker, I feel.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that's, I'm not really sure like what the scientific difference is. But if you go to Marie Callender's, I don't know how many people have that. Do you have a Marie Callender's?
Yeah.
Okay. You'll notice that they have a cream cheese pie and then they have cheesecake and it's two different things.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know what the scientific behind it all is. But the point is, I made the pie, and it was great, and people loved it.
I made the pie.
I did. I was so freaking proud of myself. Very proud.
Denise. I'm proud of you, too.
Thank you very much. But other than that, Thanksgiving was great. I ate quite a bit. I didn't overdo it, but I felt good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Sam, it was super chill. Just ate, didn't overdo it. Like I said, I only had my little bit of plate. Nothing extra, ate some good food, and that was it. It's over. Like you said, Denise, all this stuff runs together at these points. Wrestling makes it like the days are just one big blur. So it feels like, when was Thanksgiving?
It was 2 years ago at this point. But we got, and it's funny because like my mind, it's still so recent that we just had Full Gear and we literally did our live show. And even that feels like it happened centuries ago. It's so freaking weird. Like time is completely distorted to me right now.
I'm tired. I've been driving more than, I think it was 22 hours from driving to LA for Full Gear into your house and then driving back and then driving to Bakersfield and back. I'm like, I don't want to be in a car anymore.
No, you need to give it up, man. You need to take a second. Don't drive anywhere. Don't go anywhere, Reg.
There aren't any shows, Denise. I'm at home. There's nowhere to go. Nobody announced anything. I'm staying my ass at home.
All right. We got a couple of super chats. Let's get to them because we got an episode of Dynamite to get into. We got Delayed Grads who kicks us off here saying that MJF promo was pure fire. I expected the digs at Punk, but he went hard at WWE while putting Samoa Joe over. Promo of the week. It's been a hot second, I think, since we've really kind of talked about MJF's promos. Do you think that this was one that you would put up there with some of his very best? I know he's had better, but I still thought this one was really good, though.
Yeah, Denise, I think it's been like off the backs of him hearing what we said about what happened at Full Gear and kind of all everything surrounding it. This was like, I'm still MJF. I could still do what you guys think I can do. I'm still one of the best at promos. So this was one of those promos tonight where he wanted to show us that he's still that guy. So I'm into it.
Grapple Geekery, who's a DWO member, says Revolution is going to be 30 minutes away from me.
You better pull up.
Now you got it for sure. MVF, Most Valuable Fighter, says, Denise, great matches and promos tonight. Sting and Co. made me smile big. Who helps Cage Sting next week? I know it's Sting and Company, but I wanted to say Co. because it sounds funnier. All right. He says, who helps Cage next week? Nick's mom or Jack Perry? Feud must end with TLC. We're clearly going to have to get this to continue going a lot longer. Like, I'm not expecting this to be over and done with next week with Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Like, there's no way. Do you think we get some crazy stipulation between them?
I think there's going to be some kind of shenanigans, as MVF is alluding to here. Somebody might interfere. I'm going to say it till the end, till it happens, on the side that Adam Copeland's going to defect and be on that side. Does it happen here? I don't know. Maybe they stretch this out. I think immediately the point should be to do them as a tag team, because I think you want to get a Sting match before it's all over. But I don't know if it's right now that you do that.
Wait, so you still think that Adam Copeland is going to turn on the people and align himself with Christian Cage?
Yes, yes, yes. I think this is a whole plot put together. We know the history of Adam Copeland, Denise. We know his cerebral mind. We know everything that he puts together. We know that he's meticulous with how he does it. And him and Christian together, I think they're putting this plan together. They're playing us all like a fiddle. And in the end, they're back to being friends.
We got Steven Marchulli in the house, who says Christian needs the win over Adam next week. Yeah, they need to keep this feud going, and it can't be Adam getting the W right away. Sheldon Jackson says, we are now tied at one between Swerve and Switchblade. Jay won on New Japan Pro Wrestling's in March 2022 during his NJPW Strong US Open of Jay's Challenge, and Swerve wins tonight. Thank you so much for sharing this fact. We'll talk more about this match when we get into the AEW Continental Classic. We got Alexander Fitzgerald with a very generous super chat saying, every show after Full Gear has been solid. The tournament giving us great matches every week and decent matches and segments in between. Oh, and I almost forgot, Adam Copeland has that 2006 vibe again. So Reg, Alexander here brings up a good point, and that is, I know we've had like two Dynamites since Full Gear, but they've been pretty good because of the tournament. You kind of know what to expect. I feel like there was a couple of Dynamites where we were getting some like really random matches that weren't really going anywhere. And so now we kind of have like we have a main entree each and every single week to look forward to with the Continental Classic.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, Denise. I think having a hook on all of these shows, we know that these three matches at minimum are going to tear the house down. And those three matches at minimum tearing the house down every week has been such a great energy added on to what has been happening in AEW post Full Gear. And going on along what he's saying with Adam Copeland, I saw a lot of people saying that too after this promo of like, they felt like the edge they've been wanting to see, they've been seeing him the last couple of weeks, even though Denise Salcedo has said on our podcast that she don't feel like that. But I'm just saying.
Okay.
Denise,
first of all, Reg, you're out here throwing me under the bus. I was thinking inside my head, did I really say that?
You say you didn't really like what Adam Copeland has been doing since he came to AEW. We can run back the tape if we need to. Don't try to deny it.
You
said it, not me.
Okay, Reg, it was funny because as you were saying this, like as you were speaking, I was thinking to myself, have I said on the podcast that Adam Copeland hasn't necessarily been lighting up the world, in my opinion, on AEW? Yes. I'm sorry. Look.
Do you believe it?
Yes, I know I said it. I know I said it because I was thinking it as you were saying it, and I couldn't remember if I said it on the podcast already. But I have thought that aside from like the little beefy moment that we got between Adam Copeland and Ricky Starks on Collision. We talked about that.
Yep.
And then also I did like that Luchasaurus match that he had in the beginning. Aside from a couple few things that we've seen on Dynamite and Collision from Adam Copeland, I really just didn't care. I kind of felt like we were getting a lot of the same thing. Like we weren't really getting anything different. And to me, when you go to AEW, I want to see a different version of who you were in WWE. Of course, True. Now with Adam Copeland, he is, God, like we already know, God, we've seen so many different versions of him, right, in the WWE, but it's just wanting to see something different in AEW. All right. With all of that being said, Reg, I have to agree with what you're saying. The last 2 weeks have been, and no, let me erase that. The last week, because I did like what went down on Collision and tonight, I think that things have vastly improved in terms of my interest in Adam Copeland right now in AEW, and that is partially due to especially what we saw today with Christian Cage. It's partially due to everything that's unfolding with Christian Cage.
Yeah, and that's funny that you say that, Denise, because I think the issue in the way that Adam Copeland is being presented is it's a gift and a curse situation. He's being presented with Christian, which is familiar. He's going to be able to do some things that he's used to. But also, I think the point of us wanting to see Adam Copeland in AEW, seeing him against all these different people, seeing him against Kenny Omega, seeing him against Darby Allin, seeing him against MJF, and we're not getting that. We're just seeing the same feud that we've been seeing him have for the last 15 years. So it's like, I can understand why you could be in this position of like, well, we're not really seeing him doing anything different, because honestly, we're not really seeing him do anything different.
Like, was I wrong, Reg? Honestly, like, was I wrong with my stance on kind of finding it just a little bit, like, not really noteworthy?
Like, we've seen Adam Copeland and Christian have a match before. This is like, next week isn't like some crazy thing first time ever. It's like, we've seen this before. So yeah, I think we were all kind of like, he's going to come in and wrestle Kenny Omega. He's going to come in and do all these crazy things. And he just hasn't been in like,
he came in and wrestled Luchasaurus. It wasn't terrible.
Right,
I don't want to shit on it, because it wasn't terrible, but it's not Kenny Omega.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Will Chisholm says, I had it before. It's a cousin to cheesecake. Thank you, Will Chisholm. He's had cream cheese, cake, pie, whatever the hell it is. It's really great. I love it. Reg, hold on to your hat, because Sheldon Jackson just gifted 50 DWO memberships.
Wow. Sheldon Jackson, always a great supporter of our pod, I swear.
Dude, Sheldon, you're the man. Thank you so freaking much. Seriously, damn, guys, please give Sheldon Jackson some love in the chat, because that is freaking incredible. And I'm just like mind blown right now. I don't even know how to continue on. I'm just so mind blown,
Sheldon,
at this moment. That's freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Roberto Arsenal says, I wish WWE had a round robin tournament. I'd watch WWE weekly again if they did. I hope Swerve and Danielson win their respective blocks. This isn't a WWE podcast, but Reg, how would you feel if they did a round robin tournament with a bunch of their top guys like AEW is doing, but with WWE?
I think it'd be interesting depending on the field they lay out there. They have a bunch of wrestlers that I think are capable of doing this. If we see like Gunther and Ricochet and Montez Ford and some secret guys that maybe Chad Gable that are going to continuously cook in this, I think they of course could do something like this. They never would, because they don't do tournament style things like that. And like all of their tournament stuff in history that we all love and we tell them to bring back, they don't like it. We're like, bring back King of the Ring. And they're like, oh, I guess. Like every time they bring it back, they feel like we held them at gunpoint to do them. We're like, we just like these tournament things. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Simon Renshaw, DWO member, says he'll be at Dynamite next week and cannot wait. That's going to be fun. I mean, you're getting freaking Christian Cage and Adam Copeland for the championship, for the TNT championship. So that's freaking awesome. Phantom FDW says Emmy slapped Julia so hard her eyelashes fell off. Okay, to be fair, eyelashes are super flimsy, and you like go like this too hard and they'll like quickly fall off. So eyelashes tend to fall off rather quickly.
Easy one to get slapped off for sure, Denise.
Yes. Dream Ninja 77 says, honest question, with how Tony books the women at this point, what would make Mercedes choose AEW? I love Julia, but where is Deeb, Rosa, Nyla, etc.? So The quick answer for me on this one, Reg, and you let me know if you agree with this or not, is that I do think that the pro of going to AEW is all in the risk. It's in risking the positives that you could bring out, right? So she can go into AEW and it could just be like they don't do nothing really, and it's the same old thing that we've been seeing with the women's division. Or she can go to AEW and because of her star power, force change to the point where all of a sudden we're starting to get more of these meaningful storylines and more meaningful matches and just overall more for the women in AEW. So I do see it as a risk, and I do think that Mercedes Moné, if she were to go into AEW and be able to cause that change, that it would be a huge accomplishment, you know, in her belt buckle.
Yeah, it's kind of like, do you want to go and be the big fish in a small pond type of deal for Mercedes? I feel here, Denise. It's like she's going to go and be instantly the biggest women's star in the promotion. She's going to force their hand. It's not going to be a situation where you have Mercedes and you're not doing something with Mercedes and you're just letting her sit in the back. She's going to have to be in that position. Now, I can't say that we've seen it before because we haven't seen someone of Mercedes caliber be presented in AEW. So I think that it just has to be a chance that she takes. Has to be a chance that everyone takes. We've talked about it on Grapsity. We don't think that she's going to sign like a full-time contract, I think is the thing. I don't know if she's going to sign a full-time contract with anybody just because of the position that she's been doing everything. Like, she's been in New Japan. She's been over here. She's doing all these kind of things. And I don't know if she's going to be locked down. If she does, it's not going to be for a long time. So I think there's more reward for her doing this, going to AEW, or kind of staying a free agent out of just being a WWE women's wrestler. But I also see why she wouldn't want not to, you know?
Right. And I don't think that it would be so terrible if we were to see Mercedes Moné go and spend a year or two over on the AEW side of things and see how that works out, and then have either the option to stick with AEW or be like, you know what, I'm a huge star, I'm gonna go to WWE and kind of go back and do that. Like, I know a year, 2 years sounds like a whole lot, but it really isn't when you think about things. I mean, God, we were just sitting here watching the return of Randy Orton. This man was gone for almost 2 years. I think it was 18 months, like 500 and something days. And tell me, Reg, did not feel like it flew by?
Yeah, definitely felt like it flew by. And in this case specifically, Denise, we saw Mercedes return in January of this year. You know what I mean? So, like, the way that time and everything works, it's like these things could go by so quickly. Say she had signed in a year in January in AEW, it'd already be over. Like, that's how quickly these things happen. So, I think the ball's in her court. She put out that video today and we're all giddy about it. Like, it's pretty much up to what she would want to do. I want to see her do some more things out of WWE. If she goes back, she's just like kind of back in the mix with Charlotte and Becky and EO and Asuka, which is all going to be great, but it's like, it's not going to be a big difference from what she could do if she kind of stays doing what she's doing now.
Right, exactly. All right, let's get some more thoughts in here. We got Wyatt Cox, who says, Adam Copeland hits the swear jar. Oh, boy. So before we get to that whole segment, we did get an unbleeped F-U-C-K. I don't know why I'm spelling it out. I've said that a million times on this podcast and every podcast.
I think you said that today on this podcast, but
I already did. Right. Damn. Okay, so you know what's funny? When Adam Copeland said it, I heard it, but it didn't dawn on me right away that, hey, we don't usually get this. That should be bleeped out, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the issue for me is I was watching the fight one and they like let the things go through. So it was just like, that was regular. That was funny. Then I get online and everybody's like, oh, you can't say that. And I just forget because on the fight, they let you say whatever you want. So it didn't seem that wild to me in the moment, but yeah, really good moment. I like how he brought that back around.
Yeah, I was on the TBS streaming at like their little streaming site. Oh no, wait, no, I was on DirecTV. Yeah, I was on DirecTV because that's where I've been watching now. And yeah, and so they definitely, like, it came out crystal clear. Minimal sends in a super chat saying, Reg, Penta Vikingo Commander versus Top Flight Andretti on Rampage is gonna be flippy shit. Lucha spot foo excellence.
Hose me down, brother. Hose me down. When they announced this match, everybody saw it online. Everybody knows, Denise. So they announce matches like this, they know what time it is. They know I'm about to go nuts. But as you guys don't know also, if you've been on this podcast, this is also a Denise Salcedo match, too. Put some lucha shit in there. We're from California. You know what time it is, man. We love some flips. We love some wild shit. They announced this. Shout outs. We're going to talk about it here soon. Seeing Dante back in here was awesome. And then immediately going to this crazy ass match, Denise, I'm ready.
Let's go. Minimal, thank you so much for the super chat. Appreciate that very, very much. All right. So I want to get, apparently I cursed yesterday on NXT. See? Yeah, I remember that. Okay. So anyways, F-U-C-K. For the children watching, I want to start things off with the MJF portion of all of this, because MJF, we are getting closer and closer to the reveal of the devil. Before this, all of the attacks that we had seen had happened in some sort of backstage capacity, but this was the one that we got in ring. So after MJF cut this promo where he had mentioned that all of these great things Samoa Joe had done in his career, how he impacted the sport, but in WWE, his talents were not fully recognized and he never became a champion. So kind of throwing a little bit of a shot there to the way that WWE books Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. But as he's doing that, he's really hyped up. He gets us all hyped up for the World's End match against Samoa Joe. And then suddenly he ends up, the lights go down, we see it flickering back and forth, and during this, we're watching him get beat up by four masked men. And then, this is where, then Samoa Joe comes out. I'm glitching like the stream. Samoa Joe comes out with the bat and runs all these guys out. After that is when the stream just goes down. And by that, yeah, I mean like not your actual physical stream, but like the AEW broadcast. So they do it in the way where it really tricked me. I thought my stream went down. Me too. And I thought, God damn, I was literally thinking inside my head, God damn it, DirecTV. But mm-hmm. then really quickly, I was like, wait a minute, hold the phone. This may be part of this whole entire thing because the screen goes black. We're not hearing commentary. We don't hear any sound. It lasts a good couple of seconds. We finally come back and we get this message on the screen and it says, in the shadows, our game begins. And the group or the entity ask MJF for a match, a tag team match against these unknown tag team competitors with him and Samoa Joe. And MJF's freaking pissed. So of course he accepts it. Man, what'd you make all of this?
There were some interesting things I thought in this, Denise, that went a little bit crazy. First, yeah, I did think my stream went down. But when Samoa Joe ran out to save MJF, he didn't beat up any of the those guys that were in there. He just grabbed one of the guy from in the ring and grabbed his bat, ran in. But as soon as he got in, they all scattered. So he didn't touch anybody that was out there. People online were confused. Do you think these guys are the same guys as the Joker guys? Because I think people were confused as to who these people are. Do you think they're the same people?
I think that AEW has been possibly clever in having different people underneath the mask to throw off any predictions. Now, mm-hmm. I saw a couple of people saying, oh, the big dude was probably Wardlow. He didn't look that big to me.
No.
I think it was more so like the screenshot I posted on Twitter from the angle that we saw because the camera was kind of low. It made one of the guys look a lot bigger than he was. I do not think it's Wardlow. I'm not expecting it to be Wardlow, but I just thought that based off of the attack that it's still the same people that have been doing all of this.
Yeah, because some people were like, oh, this feels like different people. I'm like, no, it kind of feels like the same thing, just in a different setting, like you said. Is MJF hurt? Like, are they setting up a match for next week? I'm kind of confused. Him coming out, walking on the cane, I was like, Denise, when we were watching Full Gear and he was going for this elbow drop, weren't we both like, this is such a bad idea. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And then he does this. And I'm like, that was such a bad idea. Why'd you do this? And then he comes limping out on this cane. And I'm like, why did you do that? That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, are they going to have this match next week? Are we going to get another pump fake? There's just a bunch of questions that I had coming out of this.
Okay. So first of all, MJF announced on Twitter legitimately that he has a torn labrum.
Right.
And that within itself, I was thinking, dude, did we just get the finish for Samoa Joe?
That's
MJF?
What I was thinking too, Denise. What does this say?
I feel like, and then the tweet was deleted.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that shouldn't have been tweeted out there, because I feel it got a lot of people going, well, we know Samoa Joe's winning at World's
right.
End.
Yeah, of course. Because why would I? You're telling me that the next time that MJF has a title match, he's going to give it up because he's hurt. I'm like, is he going to be able to make it to World's End? Is a doctor going to clear him with the broken, all this torn, blah, blah, blah? I'm confused about the whole thing.
So here's the thing. I don't think we're actually going to get a match next week.
Okay.
I'm maybe we like we'll get it. I have a feeling that
a
instead,
match.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get that. I have a feeling that we're gonna see Samoa Joe, MJF go out there, and we're gonna be waiting, right? We're gonna be waiting for this team to come out, and then I don't know, something stupid's gonna happen, like the lights go out, and instead they get attacked from behind, and then they take off the mask and they reveal themselves, and everybody goes, "Oh my God!" with whoever the hell it is. I'm not really expecting a match out of this, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so you think they're setting up a big swerve next week, and you think that's when they're going to reveal the people? That's how they do it? I mean,
yes.
That is a good way to kind of get around the swerve if you're going to announce the match.
Yeah, I have a feeling, and I only say this because I thought it was going to happen at Full Gear. I thought the reveal was going to happen there. I feel like at World's End, like, we should know already. Shouldn't we
should
already
know
by World's End? Because here's the thing. We're going into this already expecting a certain outcome. If we have the addition of all of a sudden we know who the devil is, maybe that'll change our perception once it comes to the main event. Or we just wait and then whoever is the devil ends up costing MJF the match.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm landing on it. Because like, how do you, I guess it depends on who they reveal to be the devil. Because how do you, what's the draw for us to think that MJF's gonna win after that? Like, is he the devil? Has he been setting this up the whole time? If it's somebody else, is gonna be like, well, that's even more. So I don't really know. I'm very confused. Injuries randomly in the middle of a big storyline, real injuries are always so touchy-feely, and this one is like, I was thinking earlier with the MJF stuff, like, should they get it off of him before that to maybe swerve us before the swerve? Like, oh, just randomly announce a match on Dynamite or Collision and MJF gets beat by somebody before then. I don't know. Like, I don't know the severity of everything. Cause like, that feels pretty telegraphed, like you're saying, Denise, cause immediately you're like, all right, then Samoa Joe's going to win cause he's hurt.
Yes. So I don't know where you go about this. I think we just have to like wait and see at World's End, get this match with him and Samoa Joe, because he did do a good job of basically letting people know that no matter what body parts are coming off or falling off of him, that he's going to go and wrestle this match. But here's the other thing that got a lot of people sort of thinking here. I got ahead of people in my Twitter timeline, basically bringing up, and I think we all kind of thought for a split second this, because I know I thought it. And what I'm talking about is Retribution vibes.
Yes.
So Retribution, I won't be surprised if it's like trending on Twitter or something, because it was very similar to that with the lights and the messages and the masked men and all of these little things. And we know what a mess that was. We don't even need to talk about it, but it had Retribution vibes.
That's why I was saying that, Denise, asking if you thought these people were different. Because I saw people saying it gave Retribution vibes, which led me to believe that they thought these were different people than the Joker people. So I was very confused. It did feel like those type of vibes. Anytime you get into that type of, that's so like, the line is so fine of like real life stuff and like those type of attacks. So I'm always like, we should never do them. When the Retribution thing happened, it was so close to the thing. It was like, don't do it. This again felt like, this felt closer to the Joker thing. So I didn't get those vibes, but I understand why people were saying that.
So the chat here just informed me that Corey Graves put out a tweet, and I just checked right now, and he just put out a tweet that said Retribution ?
Why?
I don't know why, but well, I mean, we know why, right? We know
why.
We
know why, yeah.
We know why, but why?
Why?
Okay, so look, I don't want to say that it's Retribution vibes, even though I did get them.
I got Retribution vibes.
Me too, but that's not a good thing because of the stink that Retribution essentially left.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a good look, because that wasn't a good look when it initially happened. I don't think that was just like a little part played in this angle. So I don't think it takes away from anything, but I think it was funny.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be funny, though. This is one of those storylines where I don't want it to be funny. I don't want it to be corny. I want it to be deadly.
You know,
you know what I mean?
No, I feel you, though. Yeah, we don't want no shenanigans. We've already had shenanigans. Like, this is serious. Samoa Joe's here. He wants that championship. Max is hurt. There's all this stuff going on. We don't want any extra shenanigans. And this feels like extra shenanigans.
Yeah, I think that this needs to be presented more adult-like.
Yes.
This came off as a little bit more on the teenager, childish type of vibe. Mm-hmm. I want adult content. That's what I want. But you know what I mean? Not that kind of adult content. The other type of adult content.
Like silk stockings violent, type of content.
Violent, maturity. I don't want to feel
Pacific silly. Blue style. Yeah, I see what you're saying here, Denise. No, you just don't want to. Wrestling fans never want to feel like we're dumb or you think that we're dumb. And if you present stuff like this, you're trying to say that I'm dumb, and I'm not dumb, fool.
Thank you. That's what I want. Okay, so I don't want it to turn into something cheesy or corny. I want it to be dark and mysterious and badass. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Honestly. So in terms of like what's going to go down here, I wouldn't be surprised if we do find out next week who the Masked Men are, only because I get the vibe that because they're doing the show in Montreal, and I think they said it's not their first show in Montreal, is it? Or is
it? Their first Dynamite, I think, is what they were selling it as.
Okay, so it's their first Dynamite in Montreal. They already have Adam Copeland and Christian Cage builds for this. So it's already telling me that they are wanting the show to be kind of big for next week.
I mean, if you got that main event announced this early ahead going in, I think they want some big angles. And that is a good way to, I think, going on to what you're saying of them not having the match, that draw to the angle, I think, is a good way to do it.
We got a super chat here from Matt Logan who says, Adam's FU went out live over the air in Canada and England, but I'm looking forward to him and Christian Cage fighting. Man, that thing went everywhere. We heard it here in Los Angeles. We heard it in Oakland, wherever the hell you're watching. We heard it.
I like when they can do like, because there was a bunch of conspiracy theories after it, Denise, of like, how much does this cost? And blah, blah, blah. I like that on a wrestling show, we can get random F-bombs and like, not know what the consequences are attached to it.
Right, right. I want to know what the consequences are. Like, hear me out. Hear me out, Reg. Was it worth it?
I'm saying that's my like, how much does this cost? And is that one word for this one promo worth it?
Right. And also, who fell asleep at the wheel? Like, who's, I don't know whose job it is to be like, mute.
Somebody just chilling, having a chip, and like it was too fast.
Because we're usually watching on a time delay.
Right.
So it's not like they didn't have time to press mute. That's what the time delay is there
for.
That's
your job. I think that's their job. So somebody's in trouble right now.
Damn, it's the intern. It's probably the intern. Who knows? Matt Logan, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate it a whole lot. We got one here from Crazy 101 who says, if you want an adult product, get Blue Chew. Hey, man, until they're sponsoring us again, then we'll go for it. But for right now, we'll put a pause on that. All right. So let's go ahead and continue on from this. I want to get into some other big news. And this is, of course, we've been talking a whole lot about Sting's final match, his retirement match that's going to be upcoming. We already knew it was going to be happening at Revolution. But now we got some details as to when and where Revolution will be taking place. And that is Sunday, March 3rd in Greensboro, North Carolina, at the Greensboro Coliseum. And this was announced backstage with Tony Schiavone and Tony Khan's present to Sting, Ric Flair. And Ric Flair was being himself. He was being Flair and just like going off on his promo, gasping for air.
Denise, I'm like, he was like a displaced grandpa or something, like grandpa this way, like, no, it's okay, you can, like, he's just randomly blurting stuff out. I don't know if he knows where he's at. Like, we're on a TV show, dude, you're talking to the camera. He's just like randomly looking around. I'm like, why is this happening, Denise? Why is this happening?
I don't know. Like, I obviously, well, I mean, I do know.
I know.
It's the history of Sting and Ric Flair. And I like that they did. Here's the thing, though. It made sense to have Flair there for the specific moment, because obviously they were talking about the night that Ric Flair said, and him went to a 45 minute time limit draw and basically made Sting in that night. Although Ric Flair says that Sting made Sting, of course, you know.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. Who is this for? Because everybody on the timeline's like, I hate this. I don't want Ric Flair on this TV.
Okay, but nobody, that's the timeline, Reg. This is what I've learned. As much as I love Twitter, It's my favorite social media app. I love Twitter. And I don't like when people say Twitter is not real, because I think it's very freaking real. There are real people out there, whether they're shitty or not shitty, they're very freaking real. And I get all of the criticisms that Twitter gets, okay? But I do also realize that not everybody's opinion is what you see on Twitter. There's a whole other world out there, and there's people on Facebook and Instagram and freaking YouTube and TikTok, and everybody seems to have like different opinions. But I don't know, man. It's so weird because it's not like we've seen Ric Flair get booed at the shows.
I think that I understand. I know why he's a draw. Like, I've been to shows and know that people love Ric Flair. I just don't know if this, if seeing him in like that state is what this is about. Like, seeing him as like an incoherent grandpa is like, that's what we want Ric Flair represented as. Like, I see what they're going for, but it just feels like off. I don't get it, but yeah. I also do get it. So I
actually forgot to mention this, and I was going to mention this on the podcast. Thanksgiving. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I'm not kidding you. So I was sitting down, my husband, we were watching the football game that was on that day, and my cousins were there. They're like 17, 18, 19 years old, 16, around that age. There's a bunch of them. We're Mexican. There's a bunch of kids. And one of my cousins, I think he's 19. He's in college. He's not a pro wrestling fan. And he asked me, he's like, hey, Denise, who's Ric Flair? And I was like, why are you asking? And he goes, oh, because I hear him. All of these rappers are always talking about him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, he's a, you know, I kept it very simple. I'm like, he's a famous wrestler. He's an icon, blah, 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 blah. You know, very, very politically correct. Right.
Right.
And he was just like, oh, okay. But it's one of those things where it's like my cousin who does not watch pro wrestling is never asking me about any other wrestler. But because of these mentions in rap music, that's why he asked me about him. And I think one time he also asked me about Shawn Michaels. I guess somebody had mentioned Shawn in a song or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, both of these, Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold and The Rock, like that generation of wrestlers, very popular among the rappers, always have been featured in bars, but Ric Flair specifically is mentioned pretty often, like throughout the whole hip hop game. So that actually makes sense. And of course, Offset, the Ric Flair drip song. So like, there's a lot attached to him, like even beyond him being the greatest wrestler of all time, as he's had this resurgent because of things like that. So
it's freaking crazy.
It's wild, Denise.
Why, like instead of asking me who's Roman Reigns, who's CM Punk, obviously they know John Cena and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so wild to me, and it was sort of unexpected, because when you're like in an environment when you're not going to be talking wrestling, I wasn't expecting wrestling to be brought up, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that an 18-year-old is asking about 78-year-old Ric Flair, however old he is.
That's why I turned and I was like, huh? He's like, yeah, the rap. And I was like, oh yeah, I know they're doing that, but I wouldn't really know. So anyways. Off on a tangent there, but that was just something that inspired that thought there. Delayed Grad says Brian Danielson is about to find Adam Copeland for that F-bomb. Well, I mean, yeah, that was reported out there by Sean Ross Sapp, who recently put the news that Brian Danielson is a lead of this committee and does do these fines for social media and stuff like that.
I wouldn't know.
But I don't think it's for like, that's not his specific job though, for like this thing that I know of.
I don't know.
Christopher Marino says, to help not make an obvious Joe beating MJF, maybe have Joe get hurt while trying to save MJF from the Devil Boys.
Okay, I like that story being told, because like I said, tonight he didn't touch the Devil Boys at all tonight. So if they tell a story next week of taking him out, then we kind of believe that both of them are hurt going into the match. It's trying to see two hurt people in a match is an interesting way to go about it, but it could work.
Hey, man, we just sat through a storyline where one-legged guy was being replaced by another one-legged guy and won. So I think that was not totally off the table.
True.
Crazy 101 says if they did another match, it would last 45 seconds. Who are we talking about? If who did another match?
I'm not sure. Let us know, Crazy 101.
Sting and Ric Flair?
Oh, yeah. Maybe Sting and Ric Flair because they went 45 minutes in the first match, saying if they did another match, it would last 45 seconds.
Okay.
I hope they never do that match. Never don't have Ric Flair out there anywhere.
No. And those 45 seconds would just have everybody on the edge of their seat, just like praying and shit. Like, you know, you don't want to see nothing like that happen. All right. So we got more people in here saying that that pic I posted is definitely Wardlow. I don't think that's Wardlow.
It could be though, Denise.
And if it's Wardlow, fine, whatever.
It could be. Yeah,
I give up.
Let's talk about Wardlow, Denise, because actually
I've said everything. Oh, wait, you're talking about tonight and his
segment
match with
tonight
AR Fox.
Was super interesting. So AR Fox, shout out to AR Fox. I was first upset that they didn't give him an entrance. They gave him the jobber entrance as he's already down there. But the thing I thought that was most interesting about this match is it wasn't a regular Wardlow match of him just squashing people. But Denise, when he got to the power bombs, the people did not care at all. No one cared. And remember when he used to do the powerbomb symphony? People were up. People were doing the hand thing. He started powerbombing AR Fox today, and people did not care. He did the Swanton bomb, and people were like, and I was like, yo, Wardlow has fallen very, very, very far. My question for you, Denise, is can he come back?
Reg, yeah,
you're probably
question.
The wrong question, wrong one to ask about this.
Oh man, Reg, I'm trying not to get heat over here. I'm trying to be politically correct, make people happy.
Let me ring this in. I am asking Denise about this.
All right, we already know how I feel about this. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've been sick and tired of that powerbomb symphony for months now, Reg, to the point where they would have Wardlow come out and do a match. And you know what I'd do? I'd go, let me go see what's on Twitter. Let me go see what funny joke I can make. What are people saying on the timeline? Because I knew that I had already seen and could predict what was going to happen with Wardlow. Now, granted, the last couple of events that I've been to, and most recently the one in LA, he got a great reaction for that powerbomb symphony that he did. And I thought, damn, I'm seriously out of touch. I watch the product every week and I read what people say and everybody's cheering for the powerbomb symphony. Now, today you mentioned we didn't get that kind of reaction. And I think the problem is here that they had teased we were going to get this new version of Wardlow.
Yep.
There hasn't been anything new. This match was one of the best matches that we've seen from Wardlow recently. And that was because of AR Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this exactly what you're saying here, Denise. He even came in. Remember, he did a couple promos and we were like, all right, maybe he is going to bring. He was like, things have changed. I'm going to kill MJF, blah, blah, blah. But then the matches happen. You're like, oh, he's exactly the same. He's either squashing somebody. Today, he got some different stuff in, but he's still just power bombing a guy however many times until the match is over. Doesn't feel any difference. Doesn't feel like like he hasn't progressed as a character in so long that we need something to latch on to. I'm hoping that him being involved with this devil thing, hopefully that is him because that'll give him some kind of edge. Because what he's doing now is just not working.
And I get what you mean, because you do need that edge for him. But then it's like, I think I would be disappointed if the reveal was Wardlow. Because I need to see that edge beforehand.
Maybe he's not the Joker, but he's on the squad.
Okay, if he's on the squad, sure. But yeah. No, I take that back. I was just trying to be nice. No, I take that back. Why would he be on the squad? Why would he want to play second fiddle to somebody else? Wouldn't Wardlow want to be on top?
Yeah. I'm sure he would. Yeah, there's reasoning to why. Because I kind of am under the impression that he just wants to screw MJF no matter what. So like, yo, I'm going to work with whoever you are for just this a little amount of time. Because the goal is to screw MJF. Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I just think they need to liven things up with Wardlow because we had the magic was there. The magic was there and they just let it sit there for too long. Like, come on. They needed to take advantage right then and there, and they didn't. And I think that they could find the magic, but now they're going to have to kind of find a different method to get that. Because think about how long they told that story between MJF and Wardlow. Mm-hmm. That went on forever. Mm-hmm. And it led up to that big moment. And then other stuff that was not part of the story, that was like real life issues with MJF, led into helping Wardlow really get over during that Double or Nothing weekend. And mm-hmm. so there was a lot of things that happened that led to that kind of reaction. And then they just dropped it.
Trying to be nice here. I don't know if anything will ever help, is what I'm trying to say. Like, what if he was put into the best situations, would it be any different? Like, say they capitalized off of everything that he ever happened, would it be any difference than this? Because he's not giving me any reasons to believe that, you know.
So Scott George brings up a good point here, and he says he doesn't think it's Wardlow because he's not the leader type. It's got to be somebody who's like, could be this manipulative a-hole, because if you're out here leading this group of guys to go attack a man, you got to have your finger on everything.
You and Scott saying this is like, this doesn't make, I'm kind of agreeing with that, because this doesn't make Wardlow look good. If he's supposed to be this big badass and somebody's just like sending him orders. Like, the whole thing is supposed to be he doesn't like MJF because MJF gave him a bunch of orders and had him in this little punk butler role. And if he's just back into playing second fiddle to somebody, doesn't really look great for his character.
So what do you do to fix Wardlow right now? I have an idea, Reg. You got to give Wardlow different layouts of matches like we saw here today. Sure. That's fine. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. But he needs to mix it up with other people, have different types of matches. Please, dear God, a different kind of match. Surprise us. I don't care. Go out there and do a spinneroony. I don't give a damn. Do something different.
Yes.
Do something different. Yes. And he will get over again with the people. Have different matches. Spice it up. Have them cut a really awesome promo. And go from there.
Yeah, I think the thing is we've seen these flashes of brilliance here. Just recently, he did the promo where he was like on the rooftop or whatever, and I was like, oh, Wardlow is back. So there is it in there. If you come lay this out, maybe make him full heel, we go in, we stop just having him powerbomb people 20 times, there's still something there. People want to get behind Wardlow. I think that's the thing that's going to save Wardlow. It's like, from the beginning, it was some kind of intangible element that the fans love. And I still think he has that element. We just have to utilize that.
Bro, he's a good-looking guy. He can do things that you wouldn't imagine a guy his size could do. And when you let him go out there and have cool matches, they deliver, and he's got, like, the perfect look.
He has everything.
Speaking. He has everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't make sense as to why... I don't know what it is, Denise. I just don't know. Like, he should be the AEW World Champ. We should want to see him squash people, but something happened. Phil says it's that after the big homie Powerhouse Hobbs, when they were having that presser and Wardlow was champ, Powerhouse busts in and, like, just punks him out. Like, he never really recovered from that. Like, Powerhouse came in and was like, I'm about to beat your ass. I'm going to take your belt. And Wardlow was like, oh, that's cute. And he just, like, at that moment, it was like, oh, I don't know, man. You should have flipped this table over and went after him. But, like, from then on, he hasn't really been to his full potential. Maybe it's the big homie's fault.
Look, Reg, you and I were in that room when that happened.
Yep.
And we know that pro wrestling involves a lot of things, right? It's not just being great in the ring. Mm-hmm. We know that it involves you bringing out personality, charisma, having the it factor. And that day, when Powerhouse Hobbs walked in and did his whole thing that you mentioned, Hobbs went in there looking like The Rock.
Yeah.
He made Wardlow, I don't know, who has like the least charisma that you've ever seen in pro wrestling? Like, I'm talking nothing.
Like negative charisma. Yeah.
Negative charisma. That's what he looked, that was the comparison that I'm trying to make. Like, we know The Rock has the most charisma out of like anybody on this planet. Mm. That was the difference that we were seeing there. And that moment, I sat there and I was thinking, oh, damn.
Yeah.
That was like kind of like the glass shattered moment for me was during that press scrum.
Yeah. And I don't think he's recovered since then. And that wasn't even a major storyline. Like a lot of people didn't even see that. But like, I don't know if it was a real life confident boot. I don't know if he thought like this guy is legit in storylines and in real life on my heels. And that was crazy. But since then, something has happened. I don't know if the homie killed his hopes and dreams, but get it back, Wardlow.
Man. All right. Well, let's hope that things work out. Tim Weininger. Actually, hold on. I got to get this one first. This one's from Amir F, who says, way to fix Wardlow. Send him to WWE. Peace. I had a bunch of people here in the chat, and I was reading people's comments coming in. There was a bunch of people in here saying, send him to NXT.
I watch NXT. He'd be the biggest star in NXT, though. That's for sure.
I watch NXT. I like NXT. I cover it on a weekly basis. They do a really good job of finding people a good character that'll work for them.
Listen, Wardlow going to NXT and becoming Braxton Hensley on the TV show, I think would be awesome. Right before they go to CW, he's one of them. He looks kind of like one of them One Tree Hill villains anyway. So him becoming Braxton Hensley on the show, I think we'll do it. I don't know. I might want to disagree with what you're saying about NXT, though, because where's Jade at, Denise? I thought that.
Dude, there's a lot going on. I don't know what's going on with Cora Jade.
Jade Cargill.
Oh, Jade Cargill. Sorry, I was thinking Cora Jade for there's a second. My bad. I see Jade Cargill probably doing more of like main roster stuff. I don't know.
So?
Based on what I heard Triple H say in that media scrum, for Survivor Series, it seems to me that they still got her trying to develop her in ring skills. That's the vibe that I got from what he said, because he mentioned something of her not having some sort of like developmental experience, and that was to no fault of her own. I forget the wording for that, so ignore my wording of that, because I'm not saying it verbatim the way that he said it, but he basically mentioned that. It was kind of a little bit of talking shit. He basically said, to no fault of her own, she's not totally ready to go out there and do this. And I thought, bro, damn. Dude, she was training with Bryan Danielson. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
Mm-hmm. We know exactly what you're saying, bro.
and Triple H does that. If you listen close enough, if you've sat through enough of these things, you could read between the lines. But anyway, so... Jade, I don't know. That's the vibe that I got. I have the vibe that they don't think that she's totally ready just yet, but they know she will be at some point. Mm-hmm. Tim Weininger Jr. says, off subject, congrats to Ty Mello and Alexa Bliss on the birth of their babies in the last couple of days. I saw man. That's awesome. That's really awesome. Congratulations to Ty, to Sammy, to Alexa Bliss, Ryan Cabrera, all the people that are becoming parents.
And Sammy said Ty's was 24 plus hours. Shout out to Ty for being out
there. Is that what she said?
Labor for 24 plus hours. Jeez Louise.
Oh, hells no, bro. Let me tell you right now.
Can you imagine, Denise, a full day of just having your legs?
I've heard women have like way longer ones than that. You know that like in order to give birth, your lady bits have to go to 10 centimeters. And I saw like a picture, and apparently that's the size of like a bagel.
Now, we watched that video in health class.
I never watched the video.
It's crazy, Denise. They're like they're showing the birth. They're like in the room, and then like it just cuts scenes to like the head's coming out, and we're like, ah, it's like a horror movie. All of us are screaming as sophomores. Ah, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen. As a man, I would never know that pain. That's the craziest thing in the world. So shout out to any woman that did it or that's going to do it.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
I don't know, Denise. I don't know what the time.
Or any woman that's going to do it, and you looked at me. I was like, the fuck? Why are you looking at me for, Reg? Go look somewhere else.
You're a Latina, Denise. I know what time it is.
I know my clock.
I thought you went to Thanksgiving, and they're like, here she comes again without a kid.
My family doesn't ask me because they know I'm really weird about that stuff.
Okay, good for them. Yeah. I haven't seen
I'm the kind of person that if you ask me, I'll go on some whole entire feminist rant about it. And so nobody wants to deal with my bullshit feminist rants. So one bothers to ask. Once you ask and you get that, you learn the lesson.
Usually in Mexican families, they don't care. They're like, I'm going to go in every time. But if you're one of the, they're like, oh, here she comes. She's one of those. We can't ask her anything.
Yeah. So I would go on a whole ass feminist rant and it works because ain't nobody asked me no more. My little brother does ask though. He does ask, but I let it slide because he's a little teenage boy, but he does ask me.
He's trying to babysit.
I don't know, but he always tells me like, and he makes it seem like I'm so old. Like he was telling me the other day, he's like, you know, Denise, if you wait any longer, your baby's going to have like complications because you're getting old. And I was like, how do you know about this? I'm like, that's not true. And he was like, no, Denise, it is true. And I thought, is that true? And so I went and asked around. Apparently it's true.
Yeah, why is your brother doing research? He is really like my sister.
The older you get, you can have more complications with like giving birth and what stuff. Apparently, once you're over 30, like you can have more complications. I don't know, man. I've never had a kid.
Clock's ticking, Denise. Over 30.
Damn. This is too much for me, Reg. This is too much for me.
I don't know how. I was going to say, I don't know how we got here, but the super chat is still here with congrats to Ty Mello and Alexis Bliss. Alexis.
I blame Tim Weininger Jr. Rafael Garcia says, of course it's not Wardlow. That would be too easy. Obviously, it's Glock Anderson. Seriously, though, in a perfect world, it would be Ospreay and the United Empire. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking of something else with UE.
I don't know how they would tie that story around.
All right. Glock Anderson, though.
Yeah. Straight up.
Rafael Garcia, thank you so much for the super chat. I appreciate that. I'm terrified to read these comments right now.
I wouldn't.
AU says Undisputed Era. That's what I was thinking.
Undisputed Era. I say United Empire. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes more sense, actually.
D. Lara says Denise was about to shock the system. Oh, God, guys. Can't even breathe right now. We need to get into the rest of the show because there's still a lot we haven't gotten into. AEW Continental Classic. Let's get to it. We had more Gold League matches. Jon Moxley versus Jay Lethal. Swerve versus Jay White. Roosh versus Mark Briscoe. To simplify all of this, Reg, which one was your match of the night today?
I'm going to go with the main event because of just how both of those wrestlers work. I thought that Swerve and Jay White in this position right now, Swerve is so hot, Denise. Every time he makes an entrance, people are wild for it. But I'm loving the position that Jay White is in right now. Coming off of Full Gear, I was one of those people that was like, I don't know. But the match last week with Rush and the work that he did in this match, I thought was excellent. These guys are both great counter wrestlers. These guys are both great, meticulous, slowly working guys, and them working against each other, I thought was awesome. Them hitting all the spots. I thought that they both looked strong coming out of it too with the finish of the thing. The most intriguing match I thought to me though was Roosh and Mark Briscoe. Again, Roosh is the most unpredictable, dynamic style wrestler in the world. In this match, I was like, is this real again? Like, I don't know if this is a real fight. But of course, it looked like he might've got hurt in this match. So we don't know coming out of this. That's kind of like the thing about these tournaments is like, what if somebody gets hurt? What if Roosh is really hurt coming out of this match? Is he replaced? Do they give away his points? What happens here? I thought that it was very strong showing though from both. And this kind of felt like they've said stuff about calling audibles in pro wrestling before. And I'm like, should they call an audible here? Like Rush is probably supposed to win this match, but like if he's hurt and going to be out the rest of this tournament, give Mark Briscoe 3 points. That's another tangent for another day though.
Well, hopefully he isn't hurt. I'm really hoping he's not. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. And okay. So right now he has 3 points. Mm-hmm. So let's just say he was out of this tournament for some reason for the injury, right? Let's just throw that out there. I would say that you either, I don't know, would it be messed up to just like plug someone new in and automatically give them 3 points that they didn't earn? Or do you just have somebody thrown in there and start at zero? There's still a bunch of guys with zero.
They don't have a lot of time though, Denise. That's the thing. Like World's End is coming up. Like whatever hopefully this is just like a coincidence or whatever and he's good, but like this isn't going to be good if he is hurt.
Right.
More, and the best thing I thought also was Bryan Danielson being on commentary.
Oh, phenomenal. Awesome phenomenal.
His added analyst to how everything works with the way that he thinks is like, man, he's so good. He could do this if he wanted to also.
Right. And he didn't take away from the commentary at all. Like sometimes when you have guest commentary people, they tend to kind of distract the people a little bit, and I didn't get that at all with Bryan Danielson. He was great, like you mentioned, the analytical mind and everything. But my match of the night was definitely Rush and Mark Briscoe, and a lot of that had to do with just the hard-hitting aspect of all of it, the chops that they were both doing, Rush doing his barricade spot that we've been doing, seeing him do a whole lot where he throws the opponent that he's in the ring with into the barricade. Good stuff there. And then the spot where he like suplexed Mark Briscoe and he just went straight into the freaking mat off of the ring apron. That was pretty crazy too. So that was my match of the day. I feel bad, but I'm not really feeling Jay Lethal in this tournament. I feel like he's just there. Like he's just there to me. And I just don't really have, like, I'm not pulling for the guy here.
Yeah, those matches, his matches all just kind of seem like they're there. Some people online were making, they were saying that while the matches in the Continental Classic are great, are fun, they're not, like, as great as we kind of thought they would be. They're just kind of, like, really good dynamite matches. And they don't feel like this is this amazing tournament we didn't know we were getting. They're just like, we would have got this great match on Dynamite regardless. And I could kind of understand that.
Yeah, I get it too. So our new scores that we're at right now, John Moxley and Swerve Strickland are tied with 6 points. Jay White and Rush follow with 3, and then Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal still have 0. That is the Gold League. On the Blue League, following Collision, we have Brody King at 3, Claudio Castagnoli at 3, and then 4 zeros with Kingston, Andrade, Bryan, and Daniel Garcia. We have matches that were announced for Collision, Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston, and that's going to be Bryan's return match. I wonder if they're going to have Bryan lose or win here, because Eddie Kingston was being super emo backstage and kind of being down in the dumps about having 0 points. And he seemed like he was going to give up. And Bryan Danielson was like, now I'm here to fight. Why is he giving up? Blah, 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 blah. And we know that this is a rematch and Bryan has defeated Eddie Kingston. So part of me wonders if they're going to try to pull a shocker here and have Eddie defeat Bryan, which I wouldn't want that, to be honest. I want to see Bryan defeat him again.
I think maybe playing up to Bryan's injury, it could happen. Kind of like, oh, he's coming back this quick. This is probably the best chance Eddie Kingston has to defeat him. But would you want to see Bryan go undefeated in the tournament, though, Denise?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
You present him this guy differently. Come on, we're getting to the tail end here.
You're right. I could see it. Like, if he just goes on a run where he never lost a match for the rest of the time, I would not be mad 1 minute. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, it's Bryan Danielson. He should. So I get it.
Alexandra Fitzgerald points out that we still haven't gotten a draw yet. Mm-hmm. At some point, you know, I thought we were going to get that tonight. I even hopped into the chat and I was like, hey, guys, it looks like we might have an overrun, because I thought we were going to see a draw tonight with Swerve and Jay White.
I could see it happening. I think everybody is expecting it to happen just because it's AEW, just because the caliber of wrestlers involved, but it might not also.
And then we're also getting Daniel Garcia versus Andrade El Idolo and Claudio Castagnoli versus Brody King. And that's all going to be happening on Collision. All right. So let's go ahead and speed into our next topic. And the next topic is Christian Cage. And this was sort of a lengthy segment that we got here on Dynamite, but just to kind of summarize what went down, Christian Cage is a master manipulator. He goes out there, tries to win Adam Copeland's heart back. He apologizes to him. He reminisces with him. He brings up his dead mother. And through all of this, he's kind of throwing shots, but he's being a little bit of like an a-hole, and we know it, and we're seeing right through it, because even when he was saying like he was sorry and that he loved him, the crowd was chanting BS. And then at one point he even tells them that like everybody knows that he grew up with a single mother and he didn't have a father. I thought, damn, like that's kind of a shot there to Adam Copeland. But anyway, so after this, it seems like for a second that Adam Copeland was probably debating, but he didn't fall for it. Christian Cage looked like he was going to hit him with the championship belt, but instead Adam Copeland gets him with a low blow, curses at him, tells him to go F himself, and it is not bleeped on TV.
Yes, I thought this was a great kind of a blow off angle going into their match next week. Christian was on fire here, Denise. He got into all the digs that people wanted him to. People have known the story about Edge's mom being a single mom and all this. So they've been kind of waiting for this moment to happen. And so for Christian to finally go through with it, it's crazy. That's supposed to be your best friend. That's supposed to be your brother. You're talking crazy about him. But that's why I'm to believe that Adam Copeland's going to join, because you don't talk crazy like that about somebody that's supposed to be your brother. This is crazy talk here. Strong stuff, though. I love Christian yelling before he tried to hit him with the belt. Why are you yelling? Just try to hit him with the belt.
But what was he yelling? Do you know? Did you hear when he was yelling? He was
idea. Right.
I don't know what he said.
I don't know what he yelled, but he yelled before he tried to hit him. Made it real funny. And well, yeah, I think a pretty strong angle going into next week. There should be some shenanigans involved. As someone mentioned earlier, I think I'd be interested to see Jack Perry get involved with this. I think that's a good way to bring him back.
And how do you get him, like, in what sort of capacity? Well, he hates Christian Cage. I mean, he buried the guy. But that was the old him, though. This is the new him.
See, this is kind of where we
land. What if they do a whole thing where he's like, you know, I've gotten into some trouble. It caused me to be suspended. I need to find my way again. I think I need a father figure in my life.
There you go. Give Denise the book. She's writing it. There it is.
As it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, damn, girl, where'd that come from?
There it is. I'm like, Denise knows what's going to happen, I guess, because that's it.
It's that's how you tell the story right there.
Jack Perry comes back. I was misguided. Christian, you were right. You said that I needed a figure to get through this, and you were right. Look what happened since we were together, since you were telling me all this stuff. I've been in hell, and now I'm back to have my father figure like it is, and we're going to get Adam Copeland out of here at least until he joins us.
Let's go, man. Oh, my God. I'm so excited about this. All right. I mean, I don't even know that it's happening, but I got myself excited for it.
It's a good way. Good angle.
All right, we got a couple more items to get into before we wrap things up. If you guys want to send in any last-minute thoughts, opinions, cold takes, hot takes, you name them, you're more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point throughout the show. But let's get into, there's only so much to say, but this was the Hardys and Isaiah Cassidy versus Dante Martin and Darius Martin and Action Andretti. Honestly, just happy to see Dante back. I'm rooting for all these guys.
Yeah, I thought this match was super fun. They do these kind of six-man tags on Dynamite randomly, but all the elements are great. Seeing Dante back before the match, Denise, they showed the gruesome injury again that I'd forgot about. And I saw it again and I was like, oh my God, crazy.
Right?
That was this year. We were there, of course. Wild stuff. Has been such a long year, but yeah, seeing Dante back. I don't know. Usually when you come back off of injury like this, a gruesome leg injury, there's some reservations. There's something. Not with Dante Martin. I think he jumps higher, maybe. Like, some of the spots I was like, wait a second, that's really – how do you still do that? And you're coming off a broken ankle. He's still that guy. He's amazing out here. That's going to be seeing them back. And I think they should continue as a trios, because I think the trios division needs some kind of kick, and they could be the way up for it. And, yeah, fine match and everything. But the match, again, that they announced that we talked about in the Super Chat, the three of them versus Vikingo, Commander – and Vikingo is or Penta Commander and Vikingo is like a dream match of spot foo, and I can't wait. But yeah, great to see Dante back, I think was the main thing of this.
I hope they do something with them, like you were mentioning Action Andretti and Top Flight remaining together. I want, because they need a little bit of a character, right? Like something going on, because it's kind of been, you know, it's been a little vanilla for Action Andretti. Like he had this big huge peak moment where he defeated Chris Jericho, and then after that it kind of went downhill a little bit.
Yeah.
I would really like it if they did something with them where we were kind of, they were just like the cool bros on TV.
Right.
Like just cool dudes. Like you're young, you're hip. Show it.
Something to the young people can relate to, because now they're just like guys that do high flying, which is great for people like me and Spot Fu, but something that the fans are going to get into. They need some kind of element. Maybe start wearing clothes that the youngsters wear. I don't know. I sound like a grandpa out here, but like some closer things to relate to what that is, because now they're just wrestlers who can fly, and they could be, there's a higher ceiling for them, and they need a character like that to get there.
We don't even know what the young kids wear, Reg.
I have no idea. No, I can't even guess at this point.
I mean, I technically still shop at Forever 21, and like that, I was 21 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, I had to stop. I was feeling embarrassed walking in there. I'm like, dude, You can't be double digits going into Forever 21. This is crazy.
I forgot, by the way, that they have the men's section in Forever 21. Mm-hmm. So it took me a second. When you said you shopped at Forever 21, I was
Denise. What
the hell are you buying there?
They have a men's section, you guys. Leave me alone.
Oh, man. All right. Julia Hart, Emi Sakura. Julia Hart is over. This was a fun little match, man. Dude, I don't know what else to add to this. What do you think?
Yeah, Julia Hart is super over. Her getting the victory was huge. I love Emi Sakura in this position. She's another one of AEW's MVP that, like, if you need just a really good hard-hitting match, she's going to give it to you. That's what this is.
And I'm going to sound kind of silly now, right now, but Reg, did Toni Storm's feet get a pop?
They did.
They did, right?
Denise, you know how these freaks are out here. They like feet. That's not surprising.
I was watching the segment, right? And I like to look for funny faces at Toni Storm. So, you know, I was so focused on that, thinking of like, oh, what funny lines is she going to say? And then at one point she's talking about how she has gout. Mm-hmm. And she says that she needs her shoes to be taken off because her feet are getting swollen. And I swear to God, the second RJ took off her shoe, I heard a pop. People were cheering. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of people screenshotted at that same time, too, because there are a bunch of freaks out there, Denise. You know how these freaks are about feet? A bunch of people stopped right there, paused it on that moment. They know what this is. And Toni Storm, not for nothing, knows exactly what she's doing. And I'm going to send a shout-out to her for not only utilizing the things that she used to, but now knowing throwing feet in there is going to be double the OnlyFans money.
All right, so hold on. I'm going to Toni Storm's Wiki Feet.
Oh, no. Why are you going to that?
I don't know. But actually, I clicked on WikiFeet. I'm on the website, and I'm typing in Toni Storm, but it's not like I'm pressing enter, and it's not taking me anywhere. And I think my computer.
Whatever WikiFeet is. What is that?
You don't know what WikiFeet is?
No.
Shut up, Reg.
What is that?
Shut up. You don't know WikiFeet?
Denise, I'm not a freak. What is that?
Neither am I, but okay. So, and everybody on here was talking about her WikiFeet, and that's why I was going to go check, because WikiFeet is a place where women's pictures of their feet are posted, and get this, like, they get rated, like, there's a rating for your feet. And so people were talking about her rating, and I was going to go check to see what her rating was.
What is it?
I don't know.
Y'all are nasty. Well, I don't know why any of y'all know. Why do you know this, Denise?
You don't want to know. You did not want to know. I hate to say this, but someone has been updating my WikiFeet page for the longest time.
Denise, where did you even see your feet at, dude?
Dude, before I got into pro wrestling, I was free, you know? Like, I used to post feet and it wasn't a big deal. And
Denise,
then they somehow
why were you posting feet?
Because girls wear open-toed shoes, Reg. Oh, you know what? WikiFeet's down. It's not letting me find anything. Not on my phone.
Thank God. Shut the whole site down. Why are y'all doing this?
So people update it. People update it. So even if there's like a little toe.
What was your top?
I think the last time I checked, it was like, I think I had like a 5.0 or a 4.9, I think.
Out of what? Out of 10?
I think it went down though. Some people voted it. Like some people were like beautiful feet. Other people were like ugly. I was like, what? Reg,
ugly.
Can you imagine? Put yourself in a woman's shoes right now. Can you imagine your feet out there for everybody to look at and people rating them?
No, I can't. I didn't know this was a thing. WikiFeet. Denise, there's some sick individuals out there. And Denise is out here showing feet, just giving them content for it. What the hell?
Nick Catastrophe says, don't post feet for free. No, there's times where I'm like, please. God, here's the thing, though. This is only, like, weird in pro wrestling world because there's, like, a bunch of men. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but, like, in, like, my girl world, it's,
no,
like, not a big
like
deal.
Whatever you want, right.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. You can post a foot, and it's like, oh, she was at the beach. Her feet was at the beach. Of course. It's not a big deal. And so it wasn't a big deal until I got
her
into pro wrestling.
Feet was at the beach.
Exactly. And then I got into pro wrestling and found out that feet are a commodity, and they need to be protected at all costs. Like, it was this, like, earth-shattering moment.
Her feet were at the beach. It's so funny. Yeah, there's some freaks out there, Denise. That's where we're landing with this.
Oh, people are saying I have 5 stars on WikiFeet. Okay.
Is it 5 out of 5 or is it out of 10?
I don't know. PersoKid99 says 89 people gave you a rating, Denise.
Denise, that's freak shows.
WikiFeet wants to know your shoe size, Denise.
Oh, my God. Take everyone to jail. I want everybody involved in jail. What is this? WikiFeet and Denise has a profile? This is sick. You guys are sick.
Know. It's depressing. You know, it's very... As long as there's not, like, a horrifying picture of my feet, I'm okay. So far with the images that have been put out, I'm like, all right, that's decent. I was having a good toe day that day.
I was strong feet that day. Pretty good.
I'm done. I'm going to say something, get myself in trouble. I'm done.
Now a bunch of people are going to go look at it. I'm sorry we even talked about it.
No, Jesus, it's been talked about. Sean brought it up one time on a podcast. Perso Kid says it's even got your birth date on it. How come I can't view this?
You out here showing feet.
No, but I wasn't doing it for attention. Crazy 101 says Jay White is good with the crowd. Swerve versus Mox and the cool emoji. Reg, what are you doing on your phone? Get off your phone. I was afraid you were searching up my WikiFeed page.
I was going for it, but I don't want to. I put my phone down. I don't like feet, you guys. I'm just trying to. This is for research purposes only. That's it. Just research. I want to see what this
is men too, about. By the way, there's a men's one.
That. Ew. Why?
There's a men's one. So if we can,
I don't understand this whole feet fetish thing in general. So I guess.
I don't know, man. Crazy 101 says Jay White is good with the crowd. Swerve versus Mox lit. I read that one twice, but it deserves to be read twice because it's a good one. Crazy 101, thank you so much for that super chat. We got Demon Murder here who says Christian Cage is a genius. I agree, man. He's making stuff feel hella entertaining, honestly.
Right. Facts.
Anyways, Toni Storm is going to be defending her title next week. Did they say against who, though?
I don't think they announced who yet. She just got into a very good promo bag. But they did have that interesting thing of Mariah May talking to RJ City later and then going into Tony Khan's office. So I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. But ladies and gents, that is our podcast here today. Before we go, we got a new super chat. This one is from Papa Bangles. Thank you so much for this generous super chat. He says, I just want to say I'm 65 years young and AEW has made me enjoy wrestling again. And you two are so damn fun and entertaining. You are a must watch every week.
That's amazing. Wow. 65 years young. Shout out to Papa Bangles. One, being into AEW and getting back into wrestling again. And two, watching the California Connection. This is amazing. Thank you
so much.
Yeah,
I love it. Papa Bangles, thank you so much for your support. It means and goes a long way. Demon Murder, sir, Swerve is the next champion.
Agreed.
I think he's going to be champion in 2024.
Agreed. It's Swerve's time. This is undeniable. That was always the thing. I've known Swerve as a good wrestler for 8-9 years, a long time now. So when he comes to AEW, he's going to become undeniable, and that's when he's going to become world champion. He is now at that undeniable stage. Every time his music hits, the crowd goes crazy. Who's House, Swerve House is over like crazy.
It's super over.
It is Swerve's time, and it's an amazing place to be at. Oh, God.
This is my WikiFeed page.
Oh, how did we?
I know. How does, you know what sucks? My WikiFeed page has a better rating than the podcast this is kind of messed up now that I think about it. I have a 5-star rating on my WikiFeed page.
Proud of your 5 stars, Denise.
The Spotify is at a 4.8 and then the Apple podcast is at a 4.9.
And they're like, no, the voice, nah, the feats. Yeah.
Oh, no. Dude, they update the material. Like, they update the material.
Y'all are some sick individuals out here. If you're watching this, go to church on Sunday and wash away all your sins.
With that being said, guys, help us out and please rate this podcast higher. I need this to be higher than my WikiFeed page. So if you haven't given us some love, please do so. Apple Podcasts, 5 reviews away from 100 reviews. So please go there and leave a review. If you're not an Apple user, you can go on Spotify. We are 8 reviews away from 100 on Spotify. So please go show some love. Before we go, Reg, where can the people support you and show you some love?
You can find me at Righteous Reg on all your social medias. Every Saturday morning, I'm on with Philip Lindsay, Grapsity Podcast. Every Wednesday, I'm here with Denise after AEW on the Dynamite Post Show. Wednesday, I'm also on with Mike on Indeed, talking the best independent wrestling. Next Wednesday, we got Speedball Mike Bailey, probably our best show we're going to have going up. So also, I'm on Thursdays with Kate on the Ring of Honor Post Show. You know where you can find me. I'm always everywhere. So shout out to y'all. Thanks, everybody, for supporting. And y'all don't have to come on a Wednesday night to listen to Denise and I talk about AEW. But y'all do, and y'all support, and y'all are cool, and y'all are dope. Thank you.
Alrighty, everyone. Thank you so much. And I will be back here tomorrow for a special podcast. Women's Wrestling Podcast for November 2023 is happening tomorrow at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then I will also be dropping an interview with somebody who is going to be on the NXT Deadline card. So take a look out for that. That's coming tomorrow. And then Friday, I will be back for a SmackDown podcast. And I will keep you updated on what I'm doing for Collision this week. Until next time, thank you so much, everyone. Everybody, we'll catch you later.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.